At Midway USA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Welcome back for another OG Show Live. Mr. Randall, how you doing?
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Reel Down.
Welcome back to another episode of Bass Fishing for News.
Hi, boys and girls. Welcome to, once again, Bass Kayak and Beers.
Brother!
This is the final cast.
Another segment of Chasing the Tide, your saltwater connection on the Pallet Bin.
Welcome back, everyone. Another episode of Feather and Fur, your host, Brad.
Welcome back to the Mindset Podcast. I'm your host, Crystal.
Hey, welcome back to Off the Water.
Happy Susie Q here with Adventures of Outdoor Woman Podcast.
Hey, guys. Welcome to the Rusty Hook Kayak Fishing Podcast.
We're brought to you by Pelican Built Tough. For all situations, go to pelican.com. Eastport Marina on the beautiful shores of Dale Hollow Lake. For all your lodging, kayaking, go to eastport.info. Yak Gadget. For all your fine kayak fishing accessory needs, go to yakgadget.com.
Hello, hello, everyone. This is Matt and Brad with the final cast. Daggone it.
Man,
Brad,
I'm starting off the shows from now on. You suck.
I know, dude. It's because I screwed up one word. Just fire me. Yeah, I'm done. Whatever. Nah, how you doing, man?
Good, you?
Not too bad. It's work starting to slow down, so I get to sit there for 8 hours and do nothing, which is terrible. But it is what it is. Yeah, man, I can't stomach sitting and doing nothing when I could, like, just leave work early and go fish.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, going back to the show we had last week where I talked about LYN, fluorocarbon. I respooled everything with Red Label, and I fished with it, and caught two fish, two big catfish on the Red Label, and the line didn't snap.
Surprise.
I know.
No, man, I bet you're just happy to be able to go out on a float and not have to retie.
Yeah, it was nice. I didn't have any issues at all. So don't buy line, guys. That stuff is crappy.
It's the big old popo. But there was something I wanted to talk about before we started this episode, and I cannot remember it.
Oh, man.
I hate when that happens because it was something juicy and I can't remember.
Did you have it like, did you just think about it like a few minutes ago?
I thought about it before the show started and I went up to go to the potty. I thought about it and I was like, dude, I need to say something about it. And I forgot. So maybe it'll come back to me or maybe I'll never think about it again.
Well, that sucks. I'm kind of interested to see what it was.
Yeah, I can't remember what it was. That's going to bug me. Crap.
That's going to bug the crap out of me now. The whole show. Everyone, if you watch on YouTube and you just see me, I'm just thinking. I'm trying to remember what it is, but whatever.
Was it a fishing related?
It was fishing related. It was fishing product related. I can't remember what it was. So, poo-poo.
If it comes up, just blurt it out in the middle of us talking.
I will. Like, it's like I've never been shy of just interrupting everyone, so I don't really care.
Just yell it, be like, oh, yep, that's it.
Yeah. definitely, I for sure will. I don't know. Do you have anything before we start?
No, I'm ready to get into it because it's going to be a fun topic, I think.
Yeah, I think especially with us three, because most of the summer we've all watched each other fail trying to do this. So, because this year's just not been the year for tops. But
last year wasn't either, so.
I know. So on this episode, everyone, we're talking about topwater baits and utilizing what we believe are the best that we've got success out of for smallmouth bass on our rivers and lakes and all that fun stuff. And we bring back Justin Marshall.
What's up, dude? If I come on the show as my spirit animal, do you?
Heck no. I was gonna say that the other day. I was thinking that the other day. Somebody's like, what's your spirit animal? I was like, probably smallmouth. I don't know.
I wish it was a smallmouth.
That's a sweet hat though. So you guys listening to podcasts, go to YouTube, go to the 4 minute mark, watch Justin do a side thing and shake the tail. Yeah. He has a hat on that has a fish on it, so it's pretty sweet.
I found it in my grandpa's barn when I was cleaning it out. I remember when I was little, I used to play with this hat. I forget where he got it at, probably just a local tackle shop or something. And once I saw it again in his barn, I had to bring it home. So this thing's like at least 25 years old.
You need to wear that on the river.
I do. Yeah. I need to fix the tail. Tail's a little, it's coming off. I need to put some more adhesive on it, but it's definitely a sweet rally cap.
I need to find one now. You guys talk amongst yourself.
Good luck searching. I've never seen anything else like this.
Just type in fish hat.
If you find one, send me the link.
Okay.
Google images.
Yeah. So yeah, we're gonna talk topwater. Well, people know who you are, Justin. Let's do this real quick. Give us three things nobody knows about you that follow you on Instagram.
Three things nobody knows about me. Jeez.
I know I put you on the spot, but it makes it more fun that way.
They might know that on the side, I also do collect video games.
Dope.
Been doing that since I was about 17 years old, and I have we have a 3-bedroom house that we're in right now, and one of the rooms is from floor to ceiling video games.
Holy crap.
So I hit yard sales and stuff whenever I'm not fishing, or if I just want to switch it up a little bit so I don't get burnt out, I'll hit some yard sales and I specifically look for video games.
What is your rarest piece?
Video games are crazy right now, but I have several games that are in the $400 or $500 range. Jeez. They're always fluctuating, and it's just a bad time to be a collector if you're just now getting into it. But I mean, there's new stuff for the Switch because I'm an active collector for the Switch. I love the Switch. It's so fun.
But
there's games for that. There's games for that that have actually reached the $400 mark, like certain collector's editions. Jeez. So it's really hard to tell. It's hard.
Really?
The market doesn't really make sense right now, how things are kind of jumping up and whatnot. But I got a couple Switch games that are like $400.
That's pretty dope.
I have Eastbound for the SNES. That's over $200 right now. But I don't do it to turn around and flip stuff. I do it because I want to be surrounded by this stuff, and I just want to go into my little lair and play RPGs and play through games. And that's just kind of what I do outside of fishing. Fishing comes first, video games come second. And then they kind of flip-flop when it gets colder out. I'll be playing more video games than I'll be fishing, but I'll still be going fishing like, I don't know, 10 to 15 times throughout the wintertime. So, but it's mainly on weekends because it gets so dark outside.
Well,
so yeah, there's that. Two other things. I grew up in Riverside, Ohio. I know that's not a very exciting one, but Riverside. And I went to private school for all 12 years of my life until college.
Huh. Interesting.
Yep, first grade until up through high school. All Catholic private.
That makes more sense why when we first met, we had some of the times we had.
That's also a private school person.
You guys learned more than I did.
Well, you guys were private school people, but you were way different than I was.
It's not like I was homeschooled or anything. I mean,
You're not.
Or sheltered.
I'll give you that. I will say, since you brought up video games, we were talking a little bit before the show how, like, the only arguments that I ever get in is when Stacy gets mad at me for buying stuff. Yeah. So while I was at Disney, right before I bought a lightsaber and the Mandalorian helmet behind me, so I got the invitation and bought a PS5. She wasn't a huge fan of that.
Oh, yeah. I'm putting that on my Christmas list.
Yeah, dude. The only way that I can find it is you have to do the Sony invitation crap. Mm-hmm. So I finally got it, and I lucked out and had decent internet or Wi-Fi at Disney, which was dope, at a restaurant. And I've been taking my time playing Jurassic World, I think it is Jurassic World. Yeah, Jurassic World 2.
They got a new game out.
Yeah, it's the second one, and it's basically a sim game where you build a park and all that. So I love that crap. Dude, I've sunk so many hours in that already. It's funny.
Yeah, I like RPGs, and then I like turn-based strategy, tactical RPGs where you take turns moving on a board, trying to defeat enemies and stuff. Right now,
Triangle Strategy is a good game.
Oh, I just finished playing it.
They're remaking KOTOR. You see that for all the next-gen stuff?
I didn't see that, no.
It's a full remaster of KOTOR, Knights of the Old Republic, for all the people out there, which is a turn-based. It's not where you're on a board, but it's a free world turn-based game that's all based in Star Wars. They're remaking that. It's going to be dope because that was like one of the best RPGs I've ever played.
Yeah, I never got Star Wars. I never got into that one, but it sounds pretty sweet. Like you put a lot of hours into it over the wintertime.
Oh, yeah. That you can get lost in the universe.
Infamous rabbit hole.
Oh yeah.
See, we go down these rabbit holes. So
we should just change the name from the final cast to the final rabbit hole.
Or rabbit hole fishing.
Rabbit hole.
You gotta break it up a little bit, right? There's only so much you can talk about with certain topics.
Yeah.
You're not wrong. But this is a topic with Topwater. I think we can really dive into and break it down a little bit. So start us off, Brad.
Where do you guys want to start at? I mean, so the earliest in the year I've gotten Topwater is usually like mid-April, but the last couple of years it just hasn't been good because water clarity and I don't know. So
this year I haven't used Topwater, but maybe 2 or 3 days out of the entire year so far.
Yeah, I haven't really been throwing.
I've been catching them on other stuff, so I figured I'll wait until it's like prime time where I see people online saying, I caught all these on Topwater and they're monsters. Then maybe I'll go out there and put the popper on or something and use that the majority of the day. But I have not used Topwater as much as I have in the past. I'm not regretting it either, but I know I'm going to be getting it out here soon.
Yeah.
Do you want to know the only Topwater fish I've caught this year? I've caught 6. They were all in February and they were from the bank at spring.
I don't even think I have 6 fish.
Really?
The ones that I have were all dinks.
Dude, I went out there and I had just bought one of the lures we'll talk about. Just bought this colorway and the Pop Max.
And now poppers, man. Let's talk about that one.
Okay.
So I'll just start with this right off the bat. So this is one of my favorite poppers. This and the Rico. Just the Ricos are in the truck right now. But the Megabass Pop Max popper. It's a little bit bigger bodied. Gets you a little bit more like splash. But yeah, I just bought it, went to Field and Stream. I think I was coming back from duck hunting. No, it's February, so it wasn't even hunting. I think I was going there and I was buying something for hunting related because I needed it during the season. I didn't have it, but whatever. So I stopped and I was dragging the jig around, which was stupid because you can't really do any type of bottom fishing at that little pond. And I had it on. I was like, well, I just want to see the action. I was throwing it and man, it just got hammered 6 times in a, like 6 casts, 6 fish. And that's crazy. This is insane. And that's the only top. That's only because I haven't been throwing it the rest of the year. Other than a wake bait. I've been throwing a wake bait a little bit, but that's subsurface. Like it's top water, but it's not. I don't know. We'll get into that. Yeah. But yeah, that was the popper story.
What so. The Pop X you said? Megabass Pop X?
Megabass Pop Max. Pop they X. have a Pop X. This is the half ounce Pop Max, and this is in the baby bass colorway, which I'll be the first to admit I bought the colorway. I did.
Yeah, that's one of the only ones that they carry.
It is, yeah. I'll be the first one to admit, for everyone out there, this is my own personal professional opinion. The color of the baby bass on the sides mean absolutely nothing. It just looks really cool. I like a white bottom popper, white or black. There's only two, all these ones that have like different colors, and I don't think it matters.
The 1911 is one of the most iconic firearms in history. Designed by John Browning, the 1911 was the standard issue sidearm of the U.S. military from 1911 to 1985. While Colt produced the original, almost every major firearm company has produced its own version. It's wildly revered for its reliability, crisp trigger, and is still a favorite for all types of shooters. Whether you're looking to buy or build a 1911 and just about everything for guns, log on to MidwayUSA.com. Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
And then I just like feather trebles on the
rear. If anything, it's the belly that matters.
Yep, it's the belly. That's all. Like, you can buy, I've got a box full of frogs that are 87 different colors, and half of them are white belly, half of them are black belly, and they all do the same thing. So
stick to the textbook, right? Just like the most colors, black and blue, green pumpkin, watermelon, maybe with a little bit of red in it, and white.
Pretty much.
I will say, I think that a crawl color pattern, this has nothing to do with top water, but whatever. I think a crawl color pattern is a play. I'm a fan of it. Like a red with a little bit of black or something. I like it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So the Pop Max, like, how do you compare it to the Rico, for example? Like, I know all three of us has used the Rico, so we can talk about it.
Yeah. So really, really close. Do you have a Rico? Yeah, that's like one of the, yeah.
Bone, I baby.
I love a Rico Bone. It's tied on right now.
That's the one. Compare.
They're not super different. I mean, at the end of the day, it's a popper, right? So you're not going to get, as long as it's chugging water, that's what you wanted to do. Now, I think the Pop Max, the Rico, I feel like they have, you can get them in a really good cadence and they don't want to scoop or dive. Like, you can keep them continuously popping. Some that you'll find will have a really pronounced lower lip because they're really wanting to spit that water. But sometimes if you start popping that too fast, it'll want to like grab it and dive, which completely ruins the cadence. The Ricos are really good because if you can show that to the camera closer, the top of that is more pronounced and the bottom is more, it's just more concave. So it really grabs that water brings it off the concaveness and spits it out. So you're getting a lot more disturbance. So this fish really narrow down on where it's at.
Well, I was also going to say with the Rico, you really don't have to do much with your rod. I mean, you can barely twitch it and it just splashes water.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. It's a super, not a whole lot of, I'd have laughed. You hooked yourself.
Then you'd I actually like did me. Before I did that. I actually did.
Matt did that the other day. Ooh, that's a good
I
one.
I did. Oh, yeah. There you go. A little blood for the show.
It's a battle scar. Keep my man card.
All right. So, Rico, what do you think about it, Justin?
I'm pretty new to the popper game altogether. I really have not used them a lot, if at all, before last year. Even last year, I didn't use it very much, but I enjoy using it. It kind of slows you down a little bit. It's a change of pace. And after you've got a couple fish in the boat and you're satisfied, it's fun to go to those things that you've never gone to before. You're more willing to do so.
Yeah.
It keeps good balance. It does. It's got a little bit of a rattle in it. It
sounds good.
It does sound really good. I like how it does it side to side. I can't really compare it to anything else because I haven't used anything else very much. So I can't really say if this is worth the $25 that you're going to pay for it. Or I guess if you use anything enough, it's going to be worth whatever you pay for it.
Yeah.
However, you've also found lures like this on the river and given them to me.
I was about to say, that's the one I gave you.
Yeah, this
Strike King? What is that one?
It says on the bottom, it's Berkeley Bullet Pop 70.
I knew
it's a Bullet Pop.
Bullet Pop 70. It's a really good looking lure. It's all black. It does have a nice cup in the front.
That's what pronounced. You want.
And I put, it rattles, and I also put some nice, I think they are Berkeley, they're also Berkeley size 2 treble hooks on it, and I think this is going to also do work.
Yeah,
it's a little bit bigger than the Rico, slightly bigger, and it might even be a little bit heavier, but that's okay. As long as it, I try not to get too caught up in the technology of certain baits.
Yeah,
not too much caught up. I feel like it's just going to add something that's going to be a mind crap for me when I'm on the water.
Yeah.
Because we're going to talk about another top water that I've had for some time, and I've caught 18s on it, and I don't have much on this popper yet. I feel like this has more of a particular time of the year, more of a niche setting.
I was going to say, seems like the fall time is the best time to use them.
Whereas we've used the other ones even in the summertime, and
yeah,
fish have come up and killed them.
Yeah, I will definitely say I think the popper is a fall bait. That I think that February thing was a fluke. Like, I don't think that's going to happen again if I try next year. I only have major success, whether I'm here, whether down south's a little different, because if you can get fish schooling on top, like on a bait ball or something, you can throw a popper in there and get them to hit it. But you could throw a piece of hot dog in there and they'll hit it, or a piece of celery. It don't matter. Like, they'll hit everything. They're fired up. But I think a popper, especially on the river for smallmouth, is you're looking at fall. Fall is when they really start to hone in on that topwater bite, start getting fat, start getting way more aggressive than smallmouth already are aggressive. Yep. Out the gate. So yeah,
there was a one trip I took down the Great Miami with Ryan Dahl, and it was early May, and the water was 62 degrees, and he used that popper all day long, and he kept getting smashed one after another.
Couple, so I'm going to have to force myself to use it like that. I'm going to have to tie this thing on, and I'm actually kind of looking forward to it because it's a good size.
Yeah.
It's not too bulky. I like more of the finesse stuff, and I throw this with a 7-foot medium spinning gear, and it's perfect, man. It just glides off, sets so nicely in the water.
Mm-hmm.
And then that tip, you just walk it from side to side. I feel like something is going to happen with this bait. Either I'm going to get my final game piece for the smaller games board. Something exciting is going to happen with this, because I don't have any memories with poppers. So
the very first time I ever threw the popper, I was floating with Ryan Dahl again a couple years ago down south, and I threw it right into this like calm section, deep water, and not a 19 hit it, and I set the hook so hard with it. He was like, "Dude, don't do that." I was like, "I've never used a popper before."
Just talking about that. Yeah, I don't have anything memorable on the river yet with poppers. Got some stuff down south, but it's never really my go-to topwater bait. Mostly because, kind of like what you said, Justin, you don't have to, but you slow down a little bit and you really can pick apart a hole with it, which is nice. But I'm sometimes so impatient, which with jigs on the river this year, I had to go out and I brought two rods with me that day, and I had a jig tied on, and I know I had two rods. I had a jig tied on, and I had a Ned rig, and I brought it because I knew they weren't biting on the Ned rig. No, I had, so
you had two rods on the left side of your kayak. Was there five on the other side?
No, there was just two, period. Which, okay, believe me, jeez, about 10 or 15 minutes into it, I wasn't getting hit on the jig, and I was like, this was stupid. I should have
brought it. You're starting to get this river thing. That's awesome.
Yeah, I know. And then he is learning, dude.
I started hammering them on the jig, and now I can't put the jig down. Like, I'm throwing it almost every trip we go out. I'm getting hit bit on it, and I love it. So I just got to force myself to do it again with poppers, kind of like you said, on the river, and just learn to fish it. Because I think popper, to me, poppers was like a slack water technique.
Yeah.
So it's just learning to fish it in a little bit where the even the water's not moving fast. It's moving enough to where you have to kind of change how you fish it. So
I think this bait is one that's worth looking into and learning how to throw and putting it in the arsenal, because even though I haven't used it a whole lot, I have read some books, and the popper is one bait that they bring up over and over again as just tried and true and that you should be throwing. And I'm the kind of guy that likes to try maybe one or two new things a year. Again, I try not to consume myself with it and get off track. Like, if something's working and I have a track record of using something in a certain area and it working 1 year, and I go back the next year and it smashes them, it's like my focus is the fishing. As long as I'm catching the fish and reaching my goals with that, then I allow like one or two new things to come in. But I think this is one that I've kind of let my guard down on, and yeah. I think it needs to fit in somewhere. And I think it's going to be fall, and I think I need to take those days to throw it for 4 or 5 hours. So that's my
goal. It's going to happen, man. I think I think we're going to have a good fall using the popper.
Yeah. So I've got a couple different ones here to be using. Most of them, let's see, I have six poppers altogether. First one you've already seen, that's the Rico. Picked that up in near Dale Hollow, that gas station that's got like a legit tackle shop.
Dude, I had a dream about that tackle shop 2 days ago. And it wasn't anything else other than we stopped and we just went in and we just looked around. That's all it was. And it was glorious. It was great. It was awesome. I love that. Like, I can't wait to get that tackle shop again.
Turned into a wet dream for Matt.
And then I got the one I'm looking forward to throwing that Brad found. Anytime he finds a lure, he gives it to me. And if it's not hot garbage, then I'll put it in the arsenal, which most of them are good. Except for one time he found a mouse.
I got a grasshopper. No, I got a grasshopper for you.
Grasshopper. You also found a topwater mouse, and you can't change out the hooks on those mice.
Oh.
And I just, it was rusty and everything. Then I got this one here. This is a live target. This has no use whatsoever. It came from my Lucky Tackle Box subscription. I got the same one. It's really good looking, and I don't see why it wouldn't work. But again, it's just a matter of using it. Then I have a classic popper that came out of one of my grandpa's tackle boxes. Actually, no, found this on the river about 5 or 6 years ago.
Dang.
Yeah, it was a stretch you and I were fishing. Found that right there. And I think I haven't had to change out the hooks because it was pretty much brand new when I found it. And then I have two really classics here that came out of my grandpa's tackle box. The ones where you got to unscrew the metal. This is the Heaton Tiny.
Oh, yeah.
Tiny chugger, dude. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's more of just like a shelf piece, but I would use it.
Heck yeah.
Another one that's got a... It's a little bit newer than the other one, but still, I think you have to...
That's a Strike King, isn't it?
No, you have to unscrew it from the back here to get the hook off.
Yeah.
And that, I'm not sure what that is, but it's a good perch pattern.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forget what brand that is, but it looks familiar.
Probably a Eden.
What we should do this fall for poppers, and then we can come back and tell everybody, is I'll throw something with... Does the Rico... I can't remember... Because I haven't looked at it. Does that have a feather treble on the rear?
Yeah.
Rico, yeah.
Okay.
Dude.
So somebody needs to throw the feather treble, and somebody needs to not throw the feather treble. Yeah. I mean, like, just there's a popper with a... And that's what I was getting at. Like, almost all the poppers that I have all have feathered.
Yeah, because when you're sitting there, they got something key in on not just looking at a hook.
Yeah. Exactly. But we should try and see what happens. Because I'm a big believer of the feathered hooks. Oh, yeah. I put them on jerk baits. Oh, I put them too. On everything.
Yeah, yeah. Something to key in on. So,
but I want to do a little experiment.
Let's say we do a challenge more than anything, because it depends on how much each person is using. I say one person take a Rico without a feathered hook, just switch out the back hook, and then another person take the same color Rico with a feathered hook, and then You guys,
that one right there.
Whoever's doing it, I like that one. I almost bought that one.
I got that too. So I got the black one or the Volt, and then I got the Bone when we were down to that tackle shop.
But yeah, I'm also a firm believer in you can pretty much imitate a lot of baits on the market. I could take this one. I have extra feathered hooks. I didn't buy the Rico official Rico feathered hooks because they're pricey for some reason. They're like, I don't know, it's like $16 or something. I could take,
oh,
I don't know. There was some crazy price. I was like, I can go get a feathered hook from Cabela's. It'd just be a different brand. Mm-hmm. And then I could take some JJ's Magic and make that feather on the end chartreuse or green,
yep,
and then put it on the black popper.
Yeah, you could.
Maybe something to test out. Yeah, because I probably won't buy another Rico. I'll probably just kind of work with my six here.
I mean, you're pretty much set color-wise, and I mean, presentation. I will say the Mega Bass, the Pop Max, and the Rico, when you're chugging them, they also like to get a little bit of a walk in them.
I was going to mention that earlier.
Which is nice, because some you'll throw will have no walk. Like, they'll just chug like forward.
The Strike. So I've used the Strike King one before. I forget what it's called. Splash Junior, maybe?
Maybe, something. Yeah.
I don't know. But I used it. That thing don't walk. The Rico, you can walk that thing easy. I mean,
it's a tight walk, too. It kind of stays in place.
Like, it's nice. It's quick. And it's enough. I feel like it's enough to make the fish see it and be like, oh, it's not just plopping or chugging water. It's moving as it's chug. So it makes it more look like a distressed bait fish or topwater, whatever. It's distressed. It's getting it better.
I've used it enough to be a firm believer in it because I've gotten the blow ups from the dinks. I just haven't used it enough to put it in the place where the big one's sitting. That's going to give me the big blow up.
Yeah. I can see that.
Makes sense. Well, we hit the poppers pretty good, I think. So what do you want to
Whoppy
move on
boppy.
To
next? Whoppy Whoppy.
Of course. You got to have a whopper plopper in your
get arsenal. It out of the way, because that's the fun one, right? Everybody wants to talk about all their colors. Everybody wants to talk about their experiences with it. Matt, you're first. Show your 12 of them so I can go next.
All right, let's go.
Most of mine I found in a tree.
I got one of those, too.
I found a few. Yeah, I found a few, too.
So I started my Whopper Plopper journey with the 130.
Woo,
this that's a big boy. It started, big 130. But I was getting hammered with largemouth in this down North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia. And then I brought it up here. I mean, you can see, let's see, that stupid light is so bright. You can see little bite marks through there, maybe.
Yeah. I think you bit that. You bit that.
But there's some bite. I mean, this thing got hammered. And then I started throwing it up here and realized nothing happened. So I went to my new favorite size, which is the 110, which is like everyone's favorite size.
Yep.
And these two colors, Monkey Butt and Loon.
That is the only size you will ever need.
And it does work, man. It's fun to throw. You can use it's perfect size for anywhere. It doesn't matter where you're throwing it. I mean, I've had crappie come up and bust on them. It catches just everything. It's awesome. But it's a fun bait to throw. You get the topwater bite when it's on because it's creating disturbance in the top. There's no technique to it. It's just a cast and retrieve. It does all the work for you.
Yep.
And it's just fun because it's fast. It's power fish. You throw it, reel it, throw it, reel it, throw it, reel it. It's just it
that does get engaged. Old, though. Like,
this is one of those. Go ahead, Brad.
For years, I was using the Whopper Plopper like religiously, and I got tired of it. You know what I mean?
It's one of those baits that has stigma that comes with it anymore. It falls in the same category as a TRD.
Yeah,
it does.
It is the modern fisherman beginner's care package. You want to start fishing, you go buy the TRD, the Whopper Plopper,
and the chatter.
You get yourself a hook SPF sun shirt, and you put on a PFG hat.
An oversized PFG hat.
Yeah, and I'll say it's got to be big. But I mean, it's
one that
true.
Makes your head look really tiny.
Yeah, yeah, that's the beginner's fisherman 2022 fisherman's care package, or starter package.
I know he just described, but anyway, I wasn't catching it first until you said that. Whatever.
But we're 100% right. We all also use it, and we use it in different fashions. And it's important not to get too consumed with it. However, we've all had those days where we've been throwing it more than any other bait.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's just some days like I don't want to tie on a spook. I don't want to tie on a popper. I just want to cast and retrieve, cast and retrieve, cast and retrieve. I want to
power fish.
Catch topwater fish, but I just want to power fish every section I can.
Yeah.
And I don't want to think about it. I just want to do it. And the whopper plopper checks every box there.
I've been there before.
Yeah. So
it's the extra lazy bait because it even floats for you. You can throw it out. Be eating a sandwich and say, okay, I want a reel now.
Yeah.
Yep. It's effortless, man.
Yep.
It's kind of, awesome. I'm kind of like that with a crankbait. Like recently, I've been throwing it a lot this year, but I kind of started off throwing that growing up and then I got away from it and I'm getting back into it. So.
Crankbait?
Yeah.
I've always told you, man, that's never one to look past. You always have to have the crankbait in your arsenal.
Yep.
You're 100% correct.
With that being said, I'll show the ones that I have. I got the 110. Got to have the black with the white wings or whatever the hell it is. What is it supposed to imitate anyway? It looks like kind of like a locust.
It's called loon.
Yeah, this is chartreuse loon.
It's got white wings on it.
I don't know if it's supposed to be.
Yeah, like a bird. Have you ever seen a loon bird?
Oh, a loon bird. Okay.
Yeah that's what they look like. Because those birds swim underwater. They can live like 10 minutes underwater.
There's the fatty. I think that's the 90.
No, that's not the 90 is the 90 is like a long skinnier.
This must be the 90 then.
Yeah, that's 90.
The 90.
You have the 75.
That's the size I like using right there. And then the 75. And then I found two of them in the trees, which is the only ones I own. This one has like a shine to it, like a scales. Fluorescent and it's see-through. It's got a little bit of purple on the bottom.
Pretty sure it's glimmer shad. I can't remember exactly, but I'm pretty sure
good for a sunny day if it's going to stay sunny most of the day. And also found, I guess it's just shad. It's a silver shad.
Huh. I've never seen that one.
Either it's got some mean bite marks on top or somebody was trying to jerk it out of the tree, but that's how I found
probably
it.
Probably both.
Yeah.
So right I've always been like a, I've always been just a white and loon guy.
Actually, I got one more.
That's all I've ever used. I've always used the 90. I've never used the 110. I hate the 90 though because the body spins. I don't know why it spins. It does it out of the package. I just don't get it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it. Monkey butt. No.
This is.
It's on the back on the green sticker.
Phantom Shad.
Phantom Shad.
But I give that one a try, too. It's a good-looking one. Fluorescent look, see-through looking color.
I don't know. I need to try the 110, though, because that thing's spinning. The 90's spinning on me. That drives me nuts.
See, this one here is a 110.
Yeah. Let's say it does, and it throws off the whole action of the bait.
Okay, yeah, it's a little bit fatter. It's more girthy.
Have you guys ever used the Chapo?
I haven't, no, but I mean, I believe it would be almost exactly like the plopper. It chops a little harder, but
yeah, it's the exact same bait. The only difference is the Chapo has a hard tail that slaps the water harder. It's like a different kind of slap too. It's louder, and it slaps hard. And I think the whopper plopper one's like rubbery feeling, right? The tail.
No, I mean it's
yeah, it's got a little bit of flex to it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the difference like between that rubber and the Chapo. If you like throwing the whopper plopper and you want to save money, get the Chapo. It's just as good. I've caught this same quality of fish on it.
It chops hard. It makes a lot of noise.
Yep. It's a good bait though. I like it.
Definitely a good bait. I remember you using the white one for a long time.
Yeah, that's all I used to use is white. And then I found a black one in the trees and then caught a bunch of fish with it.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. It's one of the best parts of kayak fishing. I found so many lures this year.
Yeah. Good that was lures. A brand new one, too, that I found.
Really?
Over by Rip Rap.
That's one of the bonuses of river fishing, just being out there and it's a kind of a crappy day and you just see something chartreuse over on the bank next to the syringes and the trash. Yeah. And you go over there and you dig it up and you take it home and make it yours.
Yeah, I know what, when we syringes? Were at we were. I remember we were at the G Club and we're going back up and Justin's like, "What is that?" And he looks over and the water's down a little bit. There's just a, he's like, "Looks." I looked over. I was like, "Dude, it just looks like a, like, I don't know. It's something." And you're like, "It's chartreuse." I get a little closer and it's just a crankbait, just chilling.
And apparently it's like a $10 crankbait. Storm Arashi,
yeah.
Square 5. Boom, got brand new hooks on that bad boy. I've been using it.
Huh. It kind of looks like the it kind of looks like the crankbait that John used to make.
It's just fat. It's one of the fatter square bills. It's a little heavier too. It's got like this little metal piece underneath the bill. I think it like kind of flexes a little bit.
I don't know. It allows it allows it to flex. So like when we get to something else, I'll talk a little bit about it because
good looking bait. That's the second one I found this year. This one is the non-rattle version. That lighter chartreuse looking crawl color. So two Arashi fives this year. That's well worth it right there.
It's $20.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how it goes. But I mean, all the lures are starting to be $10. So
yeah.
Yeah, man, it's getting rough. It's frustrating. So we talked about wop ploppers, poppers. I want to talk about the spook.
Oh yeah.
There's not a whole lot of
walking baits.
Walking
bait in general.
Yeah.
The spook is something I've been throwing since last year. Like it's on and off. Like I'll pick it up every now and then, you know, catch a fish.
A spook, put it back away. A spook is the bait. Like we talked about poppers are that fall bait, right? And then whopper ploppers, you power fish them and you don't really have to think. The spook, in my opinion, is something you can fish pretty much whenever you want. I don't think it's really like it has times like the fall and the spring when they're spawning and hungry, everything gets bit. But
you can finesse it, you can power fish it fast as
you can do down. Whatever you want with it. Justin, Brad started the I started poppers and then I think I started whopper ploppers too, but.
Knives, machetes, saws, and shears, multi-tools, shovels, swords, axes, spears, hatchets, and tomahawks. If it cuts, snips, slices, or chops, Midway USA has it. Find great gift ideas in our huge selection of pocket knives and other everyday carry folding knives. Make a statement or create a family legacy with one of our top-of-the-line hunting knives. We've got a great selection of manual and electric sharpeners, too. For just about everything for the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com. Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
You start with walking baits.
Yeah, definitely, because mine will be short and sweet because this is another one that even more so than the popper, I don't have experience with. This is one that I've neglected for a long time. I know I don't need to, and it's going to be put in the arsenal this year because I have a few of them that I'm actually looking forward to using. I will show off this one. This is just a really pretty looking one. I bought this because I was going to use it at the national championship in Gunnersville, and then that ended up getting canceled and all that. So the Chuggin' Spook, I think that's a Strike King bait. Really pretty. Hard knock to it. That's a Heaton.
Heaton, yeah. The Chuggin' Spook is a Heaton.
Really hard knock to it. I was going to use it on the weed lines down in Gunnersville. Bought it, never used it. It's just looking pretty on the shelf. However, I do have some small ones here that I did not buy. These were in... I've inherited some stuff from my grandpa, and a lot of it is just like really vintage and cool looking. However, there was a couple Spook Juniors in there, and this one's really cool. I mean, they're unused.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This one's like a see-through. It's got a blue top, and it's got like a something fluorescent on the inside where it gives off a flash, and you can see the rattles.
Dude, that would work on our river, man.
Here's a black one that's kind of smoke on top, shiny. I know. I have these two right here, these Super Spook Juniors, Excalibur, Jimmy Houston. I want to get those out and use them this year because I know how to use a walking bait. It's very similar to the popper, just a little bit. You just got to be a little bit quicker. But this is another one that's mentioned in some of the books that I read.
Yep.
Top water that shouldn't be neglected. So focus will be top water this year. I have the one I just showed you. I got another really cool one I just want to pull out. Came in a lucky tackle box. I thought it would just be really interesting to show you guys this. Matt, you probably have it. Here's part of it. Ready? Here it is. You ever seen that before?
Oh, that's weird.
I have not. That's insane.
So this is two of them together. You can look it up on Lucky Tackle Box. I forget what this is called, but it was supposed to be you could give it action, and it would kind of bend like this, and it would be like there's two of them in the water.
Yeah.
And never used it. So it's like having two super spooks or two smaller walking baits tied
together.
That's
insane.
Give a big walking action. Probably more so for largemouth, but
it would
cool almost challenge yourself, see if you can catch something on that.
Yeah, it's definitely it would imitate the schooling fish perfect.
Yeah. That is the three walking baits that I have right there.
So you're definitely throwing that, just so you know. Like, I'm going to force you to. No, you're throwing the other one. You can't throw those until you catch the fish on the other one.
After I finish this board right here, I'll get out the funny stuff. I got a Pikachu lure over there.
You need to get the Joe Biden and Donald Trump lure.
Those things are like $30 each.
They're funny.
$20 some dollars. I was like, nah, I don't need to do that. I bought Pikachu for $30. I get my Ash Ketchum hat on for Halloween. I'll go out there and catch him on that.
That'd be dope. Brad, what do you want to talk about spooks?
So the one I only ever use is the Head and Zara puppy. It's smaller than the Spook and the Spook Junior, I think. It might be 3.5-inch bait. I can't remember. But if you get this bait, immediately replace the treble hooks because the treble hooks are garbage.
Hot garbage.
Garbage. But the Spook's fun, dude. Like, I remember going out one day up by Needmore Road, and I was just, you know, working it back and forth doing that, and it just kept getting hit. I was like, this is fun. I haven't had it out much this year just because, like I said, we've had some pretty crappy water conditions. But other than that, it's been fun lure.
Not only crappy water conditions, but we've just been getting hit on, like, everything else.
Yeah.
Like, I've caught fish on almost every technique other than topwater that I can think this year. It's why I haven't really thrown it so much.
Yeah.
So
I will say, though, like I was going to mention this a few minutes ago, our buddy Will, he's been fishing the Evergreen Shower Blows. Have you ever seen that thing?
Mm. Yep.
That thing is the action on that thing is incredible. Like, really? He works it super fast, and it's just like, psh, 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 psh. It spits and lure? It walks. I don't know. It's probably
it's an Evergreen, so it's $24 probably. Nah, it's probably between $24 and $30.
It says $15.99, $23.99.
I'll give that one a shot.
That thing looks freaking sweet, though, and I've seen him catch some big fish on it.
So it's Will approved?
It is Will approved.
Okay. Enough said.
He's obsessed with it. He's like, I can't put this thing down. I'm like, I can tell. Every time I go, catch a big fish.
If you're getting smacked on it, why would you?
Yeah, never put down a confidence bait. It's good to have something like that on your rod, and you're having fun throwing it. You want to throw it, and it's catching.
Yeah. So I'll start off. I kind of showed this before the show to you guys, but one of my favorite topwater spooks, it's the Mega Bass Explode. Come on, you stupid light. But what's cool about it?
Mega Bass.
What's cool about it? So it's got the lip actually open right now, so I can chug this as I'm walking it. But if I want a strictly walking bait, you can close that lip.
That's
up.
That's cool.
And it so this is like a 2-for-1. Like, does it chug as well as a Pop Max or a popper? No, but it gets you that action. But when you don't want it, you want to be a little more finessey, it's as simple as just closing the mouth and then casting right back in the same spot.
That's awesome.
So I'm a huge
fan of that. It's completely different lure then, right?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's two techniques. It's a popper and a spook all built in one bait. And you can open this.
Like, it would be mega ass.
So if they miss it the first time on one technique, close the lip and throw it back in there.
And throw it right back in there, yeah. And this, I mean, that's the first click. I mean, I can bring that all the way to there so I can get major, like, get it as close to a popper as I possibly can.
Huh.
Or close that's interesting. I wonder how many anglers actually do that. Test it enough to where they want to pull it back, open the mouth, and I don't know, I guess get a more intense pop.
Yeah.
I've the only time, so I've either, I'll be honest, I'll go out and I never think I'm throwing a popper in this spot. Now I'm going to throw a spook and I just close the mouth. I'll be honest, I just keep hammering it with popper or vice versa, the spook. But I have found to where if I want to create a little bit more, like if I have it just on the first click, and I want a little bit more action, and I'm not really getting bit on it too much, I'll open all the way and throw it back in there, and then I've got hit on it. So, okay. Like, that's – it's to me, it's proven that – like, a lot of people, when it comes to Mega Bass, they make all this stuff that moves and stuff, and everybody's like, well, that's gimmicky. And some of it is. I'm not going to lie.
Shimano's got a new topwater coming out that I'm actually kind of interested in. Shimano.
Oh.
And when it stays still, something inside moves and it flickers.
Yeah. So it's the flicker technology that's in the new Shimano's. You get some of those
last year.
Yep. And you get them in Megabass has it in a couple of their Vision 110s. It's basically there's a wire that goes through the bait and it's not a mirror, but for demonstration,
piece of metal, isn't it?
It's a piece of metal that's polished. So when it's sitting there, it'll actually move. There you go. Good man.
I only have two.
It's the best jerk bait ever made.
I have yet to find out.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
I bought Tennessee it for Tennessee shad. And never used it.
Yeah. Well, they weren't.
You can only catch fish in Tennessee with it. That's why.
I know. That's why I'm not using it in Ohio. I'm going to take it down next year, and the next time I use it, it's probably going to be down the Ohio. I'm just kidding. I'm probably going to use it this year.
But if I don't really want finesse or want the option to do the popper and I want a true walking bait, because this doesn't, it walks, but it's not like with that lip, it has a little cup, so it doesn't walk as well. If you work it too fast, it'll just want to like kind of, it'll basically shimmy, it won't really walk. One of my favorites is the Evergreen JT 115, the 115.
It's pretty good looking.
Who makes that one?
Evergreen.
Okay.
So kind of like the one Will has, this shower has an blows. The shower blows. This has an insane shower walking blow. Action. Yeah, the one Will's using. This is the JT 115.
It's called the shower blows.
Yep.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Shower beers.
Shower blows. Anyway, but what's so awesome about this, like just comparing it to, this is a Sixth Sense catwalk, which is a good bait. Like it walks well. Come on, it's too bright, but whatever. The body comes down almost like a boat to where it gives you that rocking action when you're walking in. It wants to walk. The difference is when this comes down, it comes almost to where it's a flat point at the bottom. So when you're going this, it will it'll walk across the screen really well. I just
skeleton myself. Truce. Is that what that said?
Skeletons.
Okay,
that's the shower blues.
Yep.
Reminds me of what most people call the something clown color. I think I got one right here. Here's a
you're gonna die clown.
Here's a jerk bait. It's a Shadow Wrap Slow Sinking by Rapala. Same color. It's like a clown.
Yeah.
I forget what the standard color it is, but it's, I like that color.
It might be a popper, it might be a spook, I can't remember, but it has where the gills are open on the side, so when you do work the bait, it creates like a bubble trail.
I remember seeing that somewhere.
What brand is that? Do you guys know?
It's probably Megabass for the simple fact that on this one, the gills are open, so they take that from their PopX, and it's on the so those gills are open. I don't know if you can really see it through the camera, but underneath you can see those channels.
Yeah.
So when you're walking that bait, it will
Like the water created. Goes to the front of it and comes out the back.
Yep, yeah. It'll create a disturbance. If I have the spook that I have tied on right now, which is a Dogma from Megabass, a little bit bigger. It's about the size of this. It's got those open channels to where it creates a little bubble action behind the bait, so a little bit more disturbance, but not as much as like a popper.
Yeah, I always thought that one was cool. It's a good idea that nobody else really does.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it's topwater, because we kind of talked about this when we were talking about the Hellraiser. Topwater hasn't really changed. Like before, because everyone was like, you know, everyone was getting pumped up about the Hellraiser. We were getting pumped up about it, even though it turned out to be completely different than what we thought it was going to be. No one in the topwater space has really changed anything.
Yeah.
Like there's nothing major. So little subtle stuff like that, just to add, you know, those hollow gills to make a bubble trail, a little bit of disturbance on a spook. I mean, that's a decent leap forward for the simple fact that no one's really changing topwater baits. It's just how it is.
Not much you can do.
Exactly. I mean, the Hellraiser completely changed the whole game because they made something completely unique that before I watched the videos of people hammering bass in the demo lake, I wouldn't have thought it would caught fish, but it does.
So, yeah, it's
they
weird.
Starve those fish.
Probably.
Nobody can fish that area until the showtime.
Yeah.
So I know you got one more, don't you, on your list? I already know what it is.
Me? I do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's the one I showed you to begin with. I can't get this fish behind me to stop eating it. It's the microbuzz.
I got that's that's the Tri-Wing Strike
King. Tri-Wing quarter round Strike King microbuzz. Got it in chartreuse. Got it in white. Got it in white, tore up. Got it in white, brand new. Got a couple of the bigger sizes behind me that I never really threw as much.
Do you remember the first time that you ever used one? You remember me?
The day? I don't remember the day or what I called on, but you must.
Do you remember that trip we took to Kaiser where I was throwing an all-black one that I tied with some chartreuse in it? And you're like, I've never tried a buzz bait.
No, but I believe
This was... This is back in like 2014 or something when we went to Kaiser Lake.
Yeah, is that the what you caught your? Because I remember I remember there's another top water I'm going to show you here. I remember there was times that we would walk into like Bass Pro Shop or something, and we would literally just be like buying whatever we thought was cool.
Yeah.
So we have those two crankbait. Yeah, those two crankbaits. They're Bass Pro Shop.
I still throw it.
They're Bass Pro Shop brand. They were like $3 each. One's a Fire Tiger. And one's like a chartreuse with like a fluorescent side on it. And we always caught fish on them, but I still have two of them, even though I lost the original ones. But I keep them and they catch fish. I put new hooks on them. But I have a few things that I bought that like I have this other topwater. This is the forgotten topwater, okay? The jitterbug.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I don't really like it though. Like it
nobody
just
uses
weird.
That anymore. This is one. This is something that I bought at Bass Pro Shop. This is the one. Never used, but I bought it because I was like, I'll try that. That's cool. Topwater, you know, we would just buy
I've thrown it before, but I've never really caught anything on it. But
I remember I would buy like some oversized buzz baits, and that's what I would be using at Kaiser Lake after that. I do have some of those, and I had some that got handed down to me. But I think you caught that big largemouth with one of those, didn't you?
Yeah, it was on the Tri-Wing buzz bait.
Yeah, this is a good one just because it makes a lot of it's got a clacking
that you can freaking reel that at real slow speeds too.
You can slow this down. It will sink, but it sinks slowly, so you get it out there, you can change your speed a little bit. You can go really fast, you got medium speed, and you can get it to where it's pretty darn slow. That's what I like about it, but also the clacking. I could probably get away with using these on the river. I think they're I don't know, 3/8, 3/16 or 3/8 and a little bit bigger. But this micro one is where it's at. I remember getting an 18 on that last year. Matt was floating with me.
Yep.
Got an 18 on that.
We were out and we were on the way back and I was still throwing a Ned rig and I was getting bit on it. Got a couple fish and then you started throwing that weed line and that fish came out. Like you could see the weeds move. That fish came out and smashed it.
I remember getting, I got a picture of that fish on Matt's 40 inch catch board.
Yeah, my big
the black one. Yeah,
that's awesome. Yeah, it's the bottom of Kaiju right now.
He's gonna find out about this board.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's gonna find out. Got to keep it small.
I forgot you had that.
Yeah, that board. I would love that board now for the simple fact that I can angle it so much, and it would be such an angle on the board. But it's at the bottom of Spring Valley.
I need
pond right now. So
the way it's going for me, I need a big freaking board because I'm a catfish slayer now.
Yeah, no, you're the catfish man. That's all you catch.
Jeez, I caught more catfish than you the other day, though. I had two flatheads, and one giant channel cat. I probably could have measured that channel cat, and it would have been a Fish Ohio.
Probably well, you should have. It's a Fish Ohio.
I already have one. I already have Fish Ohio channel this year.
Well, fine. I will say caveat to nothing what we're talking about. It's kind of top water. The best catch I've ever watched, Justin, not 19-inch smallmouth or 18-inch smallmouth, is the time a pike came out of the water and destroyed a tube.
Yeah, it's this little baby tube. It's the Confidence Baits one that Jeff Little always used to talk about. And he doesn't have anything to do with that Confidence Baits anymore, but they still sell it. It's just a real tiny tube. You just put a little Ned head on it. And I was just reeling it up, getting ready to pull it up out of the water. And it wasn't a huge pike. It was probably 24 inches, but that was my first one ever. As long as I've been fishing the river, I've only had, that I know of, one or two. I have two pike, and those are the only ones that I've ever bit.
Yeah.
It was insane. All I remember is fishing. I was fishing an eddy, and I'm fishing. And I look back, just seeing what Justin's doing, because he always – watching Justin fish, because he's super methodical about spots, has taught me to slow down in certain spots. There's sometimes I'm just like, screw this. I'm just going to power fish my way through everything. But I look back, and right when I look back, all I see is – and he's like, oh, and gets it in. Everything's like, Matt, can you come over here and take a picture? I was like, yeah, buddy, I'm coming.
I had to get that one.
Yeah, those pike, they're fun, man. I caught one on top water. Actually, Justin was with me because he caught a smallmouth in the same hole. We got a picture side by side.
Let's see, which one was that?
You caught a smallmouth and I caught a pike right in the exact same hole.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And
yeah.
we were standing on the bank holding them fish.
You lost it for a minute and then...
Oh, yeah, Chris Anderson pinned it against the bank for me.
And I went over and picked it up and then gave it to you. And then we just took a picture while he was there.
That's funny. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean,
I've been there for a while.
Sounds like we need to make a trip. But yeah, with buzz baits, it's another one of those baits that's kind of like the whopper plopper. It's pretty much how I look at it, as the whopper plopper was meant to replace a buzz bait. But it's hard, even though they're similar actions, that buzz baits, it's a little bit different, right? So it's one of those power baits. Oh, you got a quadruple blade.
Huh.
That was an impulse buy with the Columbus fishing show. I have no idea why I bought it. This is for like monster largemouth. This is a four wing. It's homemade. It's custom made. It's good color and everything, but it's just way too big for the river.
That is
very
huge.
Smooth blade.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's one of those baits to where you can throw and you can power fish it. You can fish it pretty much everywhere. It doesn't matter if the water's moving fast or slow. I mean, you just got to roll it through and it will get bit. Like buzz baits are one of those. It's a confidence bait for me. I threw it a lot down south and a little bit up here. And I'm a fan of it.
Midway USA brand product designers have one straightforward goal. Develop high quality, technically sound products and deliver them to customers at reasonable prices. If you are immersed in the shooting sports industry and pay close attention to every single detail, you know our products are built right and stand up to everyday use. Who has shooting mats and range bag systems to hunting clothing and just about everything for the outdoors? Log on and shop 24/7 with super fast shipping. MidwayUSA.com.
Oops.
We can talk about frogs if you want. But
I just figured you'd probably be talking about them.
No, for the simple fact that I've never caught a smallmouth on a frog, period. I know I see people do it, and I've seen people do it, and it's frustrating because I love a frog bite, but I just don't. On the river, I don't.
made me start coughing.
They're so real, dude. They're live targets. They got to do that.
Yeah. And live target frogs, I hate because they get so much water in them.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, it's they look great. Live target frogs
I'm
look
sorry,
awesome.
Luck, Lunker Hunter.
Live target, I've never used the Lunker Hunts, but I'm sure they're fantastic.
Lucky tackle box.
That's all about it, man. I've got a box of frogs here somewhere. I just don't know where it went.
I wanted to hit one thing before we got off the buzz bait.
Yeah, go ahead. We haven't moved on yet.
Jeez, can you guys be any louder?
Yes.
Dude, people are going to hate this episode just because it's going.
I don't care.
But we're going to love this episode because we don't care.
Yeah, that's true.
Chill.
Listen to it. Don't listen to it. I don't care. Whatever.
Right, yeah.
But I was going to mention the Microbuzz by Jigmasters. I have one. I haven't thrown it yet just because.
What?
I have not thrown it yet. I don't know why I haven't grabbed it.
That's not true. You have thrown it. You want to remember when I know you threw it? So I caught that day that we were bank fishing, and I caught that 19 3/4. You were throwing it underneath a bridge, and you said, "Man, I can't. I don't want. I hate throwing this because it's not spinning. Like it won't stay on top. It's not doing unless you throw a paddle tail on it. Because you had something on it, and it wouldn't fish right. And you kept saying it wouldn't fish right. Yeah, I do because I was like, well, that sucks. But then I threw it with a curly tail grub, and it fished great. So I don't know. Well,
that's the thing. I, for some reason in my mind, I just thought I wasn't throwing it because I was waiting to get some grubs for it. And I just never bought any grubs. But if you hold that thing up next to the Strike King Tri-Wing Buzzbait, the hook is so much smaller. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get a lot of misses on the Strike King. So maybe using a smaller hook will actually help with that.
I'd love to try them.
Yeah, I was going to say I'm pretty much all of my buzz baits, I'll throw a trailer hook on them. The bad thing about that is it makes the bait a lot bigger. So yeah. I think on the river they're less likely to bite. But since you brought it up, we can talk about frogs because I've got some.
Well, I got nothing to say about these things. I've never used one.
The same. I have like one frog catch ever.
I've got a ton of frog catches. Now, are they for smallmouth? No, but I know a lot of guys who throw them.
That should be a challenge for the Smalley Games. Catch a smallmouth on a frog.
That would be sick. I mean, I would.
That'd be a good challenge.
It would force me to start using them again. So this is a Sixth Sense Vega frog. I'm a big fan of these. They walk really nice, but this also has a cut mouth, so it'll chug a little bit. So you have those, and then you have like your standard frog. This is a Z-Man frog. Which again, everything on top and the sides mean nothing. It's all about the white belly.
Is that a WiseTech?
I don't know. I doubt it. I doubt it for the simple fact that the eyes came out. And no, the skirt is not WiseTech.
Perfect.
Now, one thing I am kind of excited for, and I think I'm going to try it. Now, I have a different one than this color because this is kind of asinine in my opinion. But this is a Z-Man, and it's one of their smaller frogs. So there's your standard.
Yeah.
Obviously, I trimmed the skirt up some because that skirt's like stupid long, but a little bit smaller. And I think that wouldn't be a bad option just because of the size of it. Obviously, we see frogs on the river all the time. So I would be more surprised if they weren't eating frogs than if they were, if that makes sense.
Maybe tinier, finessey ones.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen really tiny frogs on the banks of the river, like really tiny, like a dime size, maybe.
But I've also seen decent like frogs about this size that I get like on my back porch from the woods and stuff from my house. I've seen frogs on the river like that, and I've seen they have to eat them. It has to be part of that ecosystem.
Maybe there's fewer of.
I could see that, but I think I am going to try that. And while I'm thinking about it, whatever you guys, Justin, if you want
to. There's an idea for a tackle company, the Finesse River Frog.
Right? How would you even rig it though? Put it on like a nose-hooked wacky rig hook.
Quarter ounce. It would just be like that, but it would be scaled down with like a cut mouth. Basically, just a smaller frog. Just tone it down a little bit. I mean, everything's been done before, so everything is kind of just bouncing off one another at this point.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. It's just got to the point to where everyone is either copying off each other or
can only do so much with it.
Yeah, exactly, which we talked about.
Well, most of these are good for just putting on your shelf. Just playing with them. Here's another forgotten top
water. Spy bait?
It has a little bit of some of the characteristics of a spy bait.
That's a torpedo.
Like a chugger. Like a chugger. Cordell.
Cotton
Crazy
Cordell.
Shad chugger.
So we were talking a little bit about something like that. So this is, I'm going to try this one. This is a creek chub wake bait, which we'll just, I guess we can just fly right into wake baits because I want to talk about those.
This is a creek chub wake bait
that has a spinner on the back to give you that little bit of disturbed water. And then it's got that.
Create some bubbles.
Yep. And it's got that wake bait front and it's also joining. So I've fished it. You can make it walk. Oh, that's a chug. That's a Heiden chug bugger. Yeah, hula popper.
Yep. My dad caught a catfish on one of those at Paint Creek once.
Well, you tell your dad all your catfish stories?
Yeah, I did. I caught mine on a jackhammer.
Tell it to say, you ever heard of this? On a chatterbait? We catch them on a chatterbait all the time.
I've caught them on spinnerbaits too.
Yeah, I think I've done that a time or two.
Stupid.
Ned rig.
Yep.
Chatterbait.
Oh, I've caught them on Ned rig. Annoying.
Ned rig, yeah.
Big Joshy, they love the Joshy.
I don't think I've done it with the Whopper Plopper yet, though.
I haven't either.
The last thing, I don't know if you guys throw it as much, but I will say I don't count it as a topwater bait, but most of everyone else does, which is the wake bait. I don't count it as a topwater because it is subsurface. It's like a.
It depends on how you fish it, though, because I know. So I have the Witty, and I fish it, and I've caught few fish on it. If you hold your rod tip just straight up in the air, it'll be on the top of the water column. But if you hold your rod tip a little bit more down, it goes, 0 to 12 inches.
Here's a cool one for you. This came out of a Lucky Tackle box. It's called the Pivot Frog. So it looks like a normal frog here. It's got a weighted belly hook.
Oh Lord!
And it's one barbed hook here, and supposed to help it walk better, better walking action, but just one on the back here instead of two, and it moves a little bit.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Huh. How about that? But yeah, so this year, like I said, I don't really count it as a wake bait or as a topwater. I know it is, but I've caught that one trip. I think I caught 6 or 7 on it, and it was like 5 rock bass and then 2 smallmouth. I mean, hey, it's a fish, and I was getting all the bites probably 2 to 3 inches underwater, and it was the same thing, kind of like what you said. If you're not wrong, if you throw this out there and you hold your rod tip straight up, it will stay on the top.
It's annoying to do though.
Exactly. So I like typically when you're fishing a crankbait, because you fish it just like a crankbait, right? You throw it, retrieve it, throw it, retrieve it. Instead of going down like I do with a crankbait, I keep it about halfway, and instead of it diving real deep, it'll only go, it's subsurface,
6 inches.
Like not even like 1 to 3. I'll find that happy medium to where here's straight up, here's 6 inches, here's 3 inches. And I'll keep it right there, and it keeps it to where I can see it. And mostly why I like throwing the wake bait is because A, I can power fish it. B, if the fish are wanting, or it's above the fish, so if they look up, they're going to see it and maybe strike on it. And C, I love to watch them hit it. I love to watch the bite, which is cool, which is at the end of the day with topwater, it is super fun because you get to see the fish eat the bait. Like there's a ton of action involved in it, a lot of stuff like that. So that's my 2 cents on the wake bait.
Oh, I agree. That Witty though, man, it looks so good on top of the water.
That is one thing I haven't got yet. I haven't got the Witty. I see them every time I go to Fisherman's. I look at them. I say, oh man, those look really good. And then I just don't buy them. I don't know why. Yeah.
Dude, you should. They're worth it.
Plus, I mean,
plus Witty's a cool guy. I like him, so I want to support him. You know?
Oh no, for sure. Hey, Justin's over here reorganizing his tackle room.
Just putting some of the top waters away.
But Michael Teach, he uses the Strike King wake bait, I think. And he calls it the alarm clock.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, "What's the alarm clock?" He's like, "Oh, it's my nickname I gave to my wake bait."
Dude.
And he throws bomb. I mean, when you everything he posts is either the alarm clock, disco lemonade. He
hasn't dialed in, man.
Oh yeah.
He was asking me about the jackhammer the other day because he's never really used them before. I was dropping some knowledge. You can call me Justin Teach.
Did you say when it's muddy out?
I didn't mention that.
Oh. No. He's going to go out there and throw it in clear water and not even catch anything.
It was a brief lesson. You got to pay for the other lessons.
Yeah.
Dirty water's on those other lessons.
I don't get it, though, because guys on the Susquehanna, they throw them all the time and they get hammered, but their fish are a lot bigger there.
I agree, but I also just think you've only really thrown, like Brad, when you're throwing a bait, if you don't get bit after you're throwing it, you'll switch to either something confidence related, and you threw the jackhammer in the muddy water and you got bit pretty quick. I got bit when I was throwing it. I just don't think I've given enough time to throwing it in cleaner water.
And that is
because everywhere else of it.
To be throwing it in the dirty water, that's the most fun time to throw it. When you get the clear water, I switched over to the chatterbait you gave me a little while ago, Matt. It's a 3/8.
Yeah.
It's got some green pumpkin and a little bit of white.
Mm-hmm.
I want to try the stealth blade when it clears up.
I've got a few of them. So
it's that blade, man. I think they can see that blade in clear water and they just don't want it. That's what I think.
We should try it out.
I mean, I'm always up for it. I'll just tie one on, so screw it. And anything else top water? You want to touch something we haven't gone over?
Let's see here. I think we've covered everything that I own. I only own two of the chugger, the last thing that I showed you guys. It's got like the spy bait looking thing on it. I think everything has been gone over for me. I have some, I guess we didn't cover soft plastic top water, but that's not very exciting.
No, well, the whole thing revolving around this episode was to share what the lures that you like to use while fishing for smallmouth on the river.
Oh yeah,
so I think we hit it.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I mean, there's nothing else that I like to throw that I didn't talk about. At the end of the day, I like throwing something I can power fish, so buzz bait, wake bait. Whopper popper. I'm going to force myself to throw a popper and a spook. I think once we hit fall, two of the rods I bring, one will be a top popper and one will be a spook. And I'm just going to force it. There's only two I'm going to throw.
So out of all the ones we talked about, what is the first one you grab before anything else?
The tri-wing micro buzz. It's perfect for smallmouth, I believe.
What about you, Matt?
Wake bait. I throw a wake bait because I can power fish it and move it around. But if we're talking true top water, because I just said I don't think it's true top water, I'll throw a whopper flopper or a buzz bait just to.
Yeah.
It's top water baits and they're easy and I can power fish them. So
what about I'm on you? The plopper train too, even though I haven't really thrown it that much in the last couple years.
Not the Chapo train?
No, well, the Chapo falls in there too. It's just as good. So
same bait.
I caught one on the 105. I caught one on the Chapo when we went out a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
I forget what size it was. 115 or something? I don't know.
Yeah. I'm ready for some top water now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm ready for it to hit because it's such a fun time to fish. You're not really having to sit there and you're getting, like I said, at the end of the day, why everyone loves topwater fishing is because you see the fish below the surface. You get, I mean, it's a ton of action. So
is it a rush? I think
it is a rush. It's the biggest rush in fishing, in my opinion, compared to any other bite. Cause you're throwing the jerk bait when it gets colder water and it's more like you're finessing a hard bait. With crankbaits, it can be nice, but you know, it's unless they destroy it. Chatterbaits like jackhammers, when they hit it really hard and about rip the rod out of your hand, that's a rush. But with topwater, if you're every time you cast it, that bait could get blown up on. So it's pretty. I'm a fan. You just keep that there permanently.
It's Good luck.
Yeah. And you always have a spare.
I think my top five baits for the fall time are going to be some sort of topwater, a finesse jig, a crankbait, chatterbait, and probably just a finesse swim bait. Five or six that are going to be tied up to use nonstop.
Definitely the finesse jig. I need to get back to is the finesse swim bait. I haven't thrown a Josh in like 2 months.
That's blasphemous, dude. You should always have it.
I know. I've been using it more than ever.
If you don't throw a Josh yet, at least throw a Kitek on an 1/8-ounce jig head or something.
Oh yeah, Kitek. Definitely just some sort of swim bait.
Some swim bait, yeah.
Got a ton of little spark shads. And
throw it on a jig head, dude.
Yeah, that's what I'm. Believe me, that's what's good. But I have a ton of Joshies too, and believe me, I'm a fan of the Joshies. So
apparently not.
I've got fun. I just haven't been throwing it because I've been on a jig bite, and every time I go out, I'm getting bit on jigs and shaky heads. That's new for me this year, which is
we awesome. Haven't really been fishing riffles like crazy either this year, because the river, like our conditions, like I said earlier. So
yeah. So,
I don't know. It might be firing up now though. After yesterday's outing, as soon as that river comes down a little bit, it's time to be out there and fish as much as possible through September and into October. Especially for me, since I'll be kind of busy the first part of October.
November was good too.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're getting married.
I know.
Have you even thrown? Well, don't sound too excited about it.
I have to throw all this stuff away. I only got a month to use it.
You can just give it to me. It's fine. Don't throw it away. Have you even used my wedding gift yet?
Not yet. Because I see that as more of a springtime.
Mm-hmm.
No, seriously. I got it right here. It's right here. Best wedding gift ever.
I know. I wish somebody would have gave, like, we got a lot of good stuff. But half of it is sitting behind me, never been used.
What?
In a box still.
And you're blaming me for not using this yet.
I kind of. Yeah, you should be using it. I would have, like, the second you gave it to me, I'd have been like, yeah, dude, I'm using this today.
No, I have plans for it. I actually just need to acquire some more. I have a couple big baits over there, but I really only have like two. I have plans to acquire a few more things, but I really see it as like springtime, getting out there, using the hell out of it. But I could see fall time being successful too. So maybe I'll rig that thing up and get my first use out of it for this fall. But mainly, at least from what I hear, it's if you want to fish big old hard 7-8 inch swim baits, springtime's time to do it. But of course, I'm still pretty new to it. So
yeah, I'm about to say, I mean, I'm new to throwing it on the river, but Nick, who was on our show for that series.
I've swim baits. To that episode like 5 or 6 times trying to figure out what I was going to buy or, you know, what am I going to end up with? Cause I'll probably end up with more than one swim bait rod, probably two, but
yeah, I mean, I've got two and they do different things for heavier baits and lighter baits. I am going to be throwing the Working Class Zero Citizen, the 6-inch a lot this fall. So, but Brad, do you have any closing thoughts?
I wish he would stop being so dang loud.
Justin, I was about to say, you just had like a stroke.
No, I got this one. My tackle wall is actually right over this way. I got that one.
The Arashi, yeah, can't go wrong with that.
Pick that one up as like a start, and that one.
S-Waver, can't go wrong with it. I got three of those in the truck waiting to get tied on.
So, yeah, I think this one, I don't think I'll have too much of a problem catching something on. That's a good color, and the bait's not much bigger than the stuff that we're using now. What is this, like a 6-inch? 6 inches, 6¾. So,
just
a little bit bigger than a chatterbait. This is going to be the challenge. But I kind of want to start that. It's a part of my fishing game that I want to take on. You know, I've done this and done that, and it's still fun, but it's cool to, like I said, every once in a while, I like to bring in new things and just kind of casually try them out. So
you guys need to go out to East River and you guys need to chuck those all. Yeah,
that's a good idea. I might do that.
There's so many spots you can draw them out of through there. It's going to work there. I guarantee it.
This is like a new level of patience, though, even for me.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Well, you saw Dylan Rupp's post that he made yesterday.
I saw that, yeah.
He caught some big ones.
I thought that was kind of like a wake bait, a thing that he was using.
It might have been, but they were huge, whatever they were.
But aren't most of these stay like a foot underneath the water?
It depends. If you get the sinking one, obviously that'll sink down, and it sinks pretty quick. And then if you get the suspending one, it'll pretty much go down to 2 or 3 feet, however fast you're working sinking.
It. Okay, it creates a longer glide while giving angler increased control with swimming depth. Okay.
Yeah, so you can, with the slow sink, you can really control it. I've got 3 fast sinks for the lake up north.
That and I also need to get some kind of lure retriever because I feel like I'm going to get snagged up.
Yeah, I have one there. What are you doing?
It's time to go.
Yeah, he's...
It means that this is another episode for some other time.
It will be after we after we catch some on them. But everyone, thanks for listening. If you've stayed with us this long, I really think Topwater is going to start kicking here soon. I really think that
It already is. Look,
it's already the hat's already munching, which is a good sign. Look at that. It's right on the lip. It's right where you want
it. Oh, he's spitting up shat on my computer.
Yeah.
He's seizing.
Jeez. But all right, guys, I've got nothing else. Brad, you got anything?
No.
Justin, Brad, myself, our links will all be down in the description below. Feel free to come by, look at some of the stuff we're doing, and thanks for coming.
See ya.
Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode here on Paddle and Fin. Be sure to drop a 5-star rating, a thumbs up, or smash that subscribe button on any platform you're listening in on. Be sure to check us out on Waypoint TV, waypointtv.com. Make sure you sign up for the Fantasy Kayak Fishing League at paddleandfin.com/fantasy. You could support this show through Patreon, patreon.com/paddleandfin. Don't forget to check out the website, paddleandfin.com. Catch us on YouTube. If you got a question, comment, or want to see a future guest on the show, be sure to email us at paddleandfin@gmail.com. Shout out to our show supporters, Yak Gadget. You can check out all the fine kayak accessories at yakgadget.com. Pelican Professional. For all your cases, coolers, and lighting needs, go to pelican.com. Rocktown Adventures. Your Midwest premier paddle sports destination, go to rocktownadventures.com. Eastport Marina, the beautiful destination on Dale Hollow Lake. If you're looking for lodging, kayaks, kayak accessories, or anything fishing related on the beautiful Dale Hollow Lake, go to eastport.info. And Jigmasters Jigs, when in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com and fill your tackle boxes today.
One of the most legendary shows in the outdoors is on Waypoint TV. Don't miss Primo's Truth About Hunting, Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
When you go out there and the fish are where you think they are, any one of these casts could be the bite. It's the most exciting fishing that I know, right here at Hawk's Cave.
Oh, that's awesome!
Experience the best saltwater fishing the world has to offer. Don't miss Thursdays with Saltwater Experience. Brought to you by Golden Boat Lifts. Every Thursday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV. The destination for outdoor entertainment.